Good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing this morning? So today, Paul had just finished off with the elders from Ephesus. He was at Miletus, and he's journeying. So I got my boat back up again. He's journeying to, today we're going to go to Caesarea. He's going to be crossing the Aegean and on his way towards Jerusalem. So we'll start with a word of prayer. Oh, good morning, Father. Thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for this time we get to spend with you and your word. Thank you, Lord, so much for the good news yesterday of an interim pastor, Pastor Silcott. Thank you for sending him our way. It may be a blessing to us. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Let's see, today we're in Acts 21, starting in verse 1. And can you tell by the boat, he left Miletus area, and he's now heading towards Israel again, or Jerusalem. It'll take him a few days to get there. And the first stop is Kos. It's a little island off the coast of, at that time it was it's part of Greece. It's actually really close to Turkey. And let me bring up my little map here. Give you an idea of what we're doing today. So you see Kos up here in the left here corner. And we're going to stop at Rhodes for a night and Patera and then land in the coast of Israel, actually in Syria. Tyre is in Syria at that time. And today it's in Lebanon. So I'll have a few photos to show you when we get there. Let's get some verses up here. Today we're going to meet somebody from the past that I found kind of interesting, only because he was close friends with Stephen. If you remember, Stephen was the start of this whole story was when Paul was, when he was Saul. Witnessed the killing of Stephen and didn't really do anything about it. Philip was one of the folks that was working with Stephen at that time, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But starting in Acts 21:1, and it came to pass that after we had gotten from them, that was the elders there at Miletus, and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Kos. And the day following under Rhodes. So he spent one day at Kos, and then he went to Rhodes, and from thence under Patera. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was unladen her burden. Got the impression by this verse, though, that maybe the original intent was to stop at Cyprus, but they changed their mind or decided to head straight for Tyre. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Well, here we have the typical, found a couple of verses I wanted to mention on this area of the Spirit. And so we're going to go back to Acts 20:22 and just refresh our memory about what he means by the Spirit. So remember back in Acts 20:22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing these things that shall befall me. I feel that in this particular verse, as we know through his whole travels, the Holy Spirit has been guiding his path the whole way. And I get the impression that he already knew that he was bound for Jerusalem and things weren't going to go well, but that that was his ultimate goal. As we remember a while back, he had a big desire to get over to Rome at some point. So I think that he kind of knew somehow. He doesn't say it anywhere in Scripture, but I just got a feeling that maybe he knew that ultimately he was going to end up in Rome via the upcoming couple of chapters. So to finish off here in Acts 20:23, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying, the bonds and afflictions abide me. So again, like I said, with these verses here, it gives us the impression that Paul was led by the Holy Spirit his whole way. And so he felt like he was keeping in the path that was set before him. So back to Acts 21:5. And we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. So again, he was at Patera. I'm sorry, is it Tyre? This is Tyre. And that he was getting ready to head out towards the next stop would be Petelmaris. Can't say that word very well. On to verse 6. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. And again, as we mentioned a couple of days ago, remember that Luke wrote Acts and he penned it based on inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And we can see here, when we see the word we, the name Luke is only mentioned a few times in the Bible. But I notice all through Acts that the word we is used on occasion. So I think these are times that Luke is actually traveling with Paul by the fact that he says, and we. So he's talking about himself. And they are, and I get the impression by this verse too that there was travelers that came with him by ship to get him here, and then now they're going to be heading back to either Ephesus or somewhere in Asia. Under verse 7. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. In his Paul's typical fashion, he always found a little time to always stop by the places he'd been before and talk to fellow Christians to see how things were going. On to verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered in the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. So I want to break this verse down a little bit. Just one more verse, verse 9, that goes with it right here. Because Paul, Philip, was obviously married because he had four daughters. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophecy. And I want to pick these two verses apart a little bit. Mainly verse 8, where it says, we're going to look at these words. Philip, first of all, we're going to refresh our memory about Philip. If you remember back to some other lessons, not that I've given, but that Philip was an evangelist, and he was centered in Caesarea. And I got curious about the term one of the seven, so I did a little research. And I found out some information about that too. So we're going to go back to Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And this is a portion where a group of the disciples, the apostles at that time, were being asked about care of some widows in the area around Jerusalem at the time. and they wanted to seek out disciples to help them in their mission to spread the word, and also to help the widows of the area. So back in Acts 6:5 is where we meet Philip, and I'll just read here. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. The multitude in this case was the people complaining that the widows weren't being taken care of. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, if you count that, there's seven of them. And just finish up here in verse 6. And whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And this is a very typical way that disciples are sent out from a, it's even done today, when a disciple or an evangelist is sent out from the sponsoring church, they pray and they lay hands on them as a way of signifying that they're sending them out into their mission, into their journey, whatever that may be. I also wanted to mention in Ephesians, we also see, this is the on the term evangelist. I just wanted to find a few verses on this. And I found these in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 that indicate some of the things. And I mention this not only because of the evangelist, but he mentions his four daughters are prophesy. So these are some of these the jobs that are the Holy Spirit can give any of us. And I think it's important to review this list as a list of potential workers for the Lord. And Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 does a list of the general jobs within the church that are beneficial to the word. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I just wanted to show that both the to be an evangelist and to be a and prophet in this case, that doesn't mean foretelling the future necessarily. Within the Bible, you have prophets in the Old Testament that actually told the future. And in the New Testament, we have a couple too. We have John who did Revelation. But also the word prophet can also mean that you're just reiterating. I can almost say that I'm one. You're reiterating, you're teaching the word of God. You're sharing it with others. And that's another word for prophet. And so there's a lot of different kinds of jobs we can have within the ministry. And so I wanted to point this verse out. Then in Acts 8:6, we see Philip again. And I remember we said Philip was an evangelist. I'm kind of reviewing him so we can see that he did a lot of work in the area. Again, sent it out of Caesarea. I think it kind of reminds me a little bit of what our new pastor has done. And he enjoys his evangelistic journeys that he goes on. And so Philip, in this case, in Acts 8, 5 and 6, you see where he went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So I just read here, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Just one more little instance. I won't read the whole thing, but I think that a lot of us remember the story of Philip and the eunuch from, I'm just going to read a couple of the verses. It's actually told in Acts 8:26 through 8:40. Excuse me. But I wanted to, I'll just read a couple of verses to refresh our memory. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. This kind of indicates how he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he arose and went, and beheld a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to worship, come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now jump down to verse 39 and 40. Just some time. I suggest you rereading this story. Now we've got time today. I already got a lot of verses. But here in Acts 8:39, and when they were come up out of the water, this is after the eunuch had been shown the gospel, and Philip shared it with him, and he believed, and now they're going to be, Philip is going to baptize him. And when they would come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord came, caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And in verse 40, we see that Philip goes back to Caesarea. But Philip was found at Aistos, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So again, kind of an interesting incident there where the Holy Spirit actually took him in kind of like a rapture type situation. He didn't take him to heaven like with some others like Enoch and those. But the Holy Spirit was able to get him quickly back to the area around Caesarea. So back to Acts 21:10. I just wanted to share those stories. So we know who Philip is. And I found this interesting that back in Acts 21:10, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And I just wanted to mention that about Philip too, that I found it kind of interesting, because remember, Philip was actually friends with Stephen. And remember, Paul was there when Stephen was stoned. And so I found it interesting that Philip was able to not only forgive Paul for that incident and welcome him into his home and his ministry, but went on to fellowship with him for a few days. And so I think that's an important point, is what I'm trying to make about this particular area, that you know, we can once have a problem with a brother, but once we know that that person has repented and gone on to become one with the Lord, is that we are instructed to make sure that we are just as willing to accept them also. And that's something all the apostles of the original apostles had a little trouble getting used to with Paul at first. But it's good to see that Philip obviously did not have any hard feeling about it. So I want to bring in, we got Agabus here too. I thought I'd just mention a few things about him. We see him, he was someone that we met back in Acts 11:28. You know, just review him a little bit. This is back in Acts, where there had been, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And I just brought that back in to remind us. He was the gentleman that was instrumental in getting some donations together from Paul when he was up in Antioch, and the church up in Antioch, to help out, because Jerusalem during that time was having a famine. And so Agabus was involved with that and helping out get some money together to give to Paul and Silas at the time to bring it down to Jerusalem. So I want to refresh your memory on who Agabus was. So back to Acts 21, verse 11. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So speaking of prophesying a little bit here, so this Agabus actually was telling basically Paul that things are not going to go well in Jerusalem. And I just want to reflect back to something that Jesus also said. It's kind of reminiscent of Jesus knowing his time was near, and I think Paul did too. Well, going back to Matthew 20:19 for a second, we'll reflect back on about the time that Jesus was being delivered to Jerusalem for his ultimate goal of dying for us. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. And so Paul's going to make a mention that he's prepared for this. That's why I wanted to mention this verse. It's similar. He knew in his heart all the way through his travels that his ultimate end was probably going to be death for the ministry. But he wants to go on to say that he's ready for that. So back to Acts 21:12. We continue on here. And when we had heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. So again, everybody knew, but Paul was determined to finish the course. And in Luke 9:51, I brought this verse up to just make notion that because in on 2012 you'll see where he says that. Let me go back there for a second. It's afterwards Luke 9:51. I'll read it. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And you'll notice in the next verse that Paul says basically the same thing. And Paul answered, "What man ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus Christ." So basically that Paul was ready. He knew there was a good chance that he was not going to survive this. But I also think he knew that this is how he was going to get to Rome. And I think the Holy Spirit knew and informed him somehow that this was his way of getting to Rome, but that ultimately that it was going to be the end of his mission. So as we've seen as this whole third missionary journey, he kept saying goodbye to everybody. And so it's reminiscent that he was probably not going to live past Jerusalem or Rome, as we'll see in the coming chapters. I'm going to reflect back to a couple of verses on this subject that Paul wrote in a couple of his letters. In Romans 1:15, he wrote, "So as much as it in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." He's reminiscing that he's ready to come. He wrote Romans, I think he was in Corinth when he wrote Romans, but he was letting them know that he plans on coming to Rome at some point. So he kind of knew that ultimately he was going to get there. And also in 2 Timothy 4:6, he makes mention that he's also ready to come there, but knew it was probably going to be his end. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." As we'll see as we finish up the journey of Paul in Rome later on next couple of weeks. That 2 Timothy was the last book letter he wrote, and towards the end here, he knew that his time was come, but he also reminiscing that he was ready also. So to finish off where we are in Acts 21, long one today. Wanted to get to a good stopping point. So Acts 21:14, and when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, "The Lord." The will of the Lord be done. Like I said, I think that Paul knew what the will of the Lord was. And verse 15, "And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem." So that's it for today. That was a long one. But I wanted to get through to that section so that and reintroduce some of these folks. I think there's some good lessons there too. I enjoyed that section. So some pictures of the area. I guess it was a refresher. You left Kos and went to Rhodes, Patera, Tyre. And right now he's in Caesarea. And so here's some pictures of the area around Kos. I like doing these pictures because it, I think it confirms all the stuff we see in the Bible are real places. There's some ruins in around the Kos. It was actually a temple to that goddess Diana, I think it was. Artemis, they called her also. These are some of the scenes. And this here is the, they call it actually St. Paul's Bay. This is actually in Rhodes. And it's a little church that's there now. It wasn't there then, but on the coast there. But this is somewhere Paul probably would have seen in his travels as he was coming in the ship. And this here is Patera. It's an overall view of the area. This is another amphitheater at Patera that maybe Paul would have spoken. We don't know. He doesn't mention it in this particular town. And that's a little Roman, like a worship area. Pretty small, actually, it looks. And this, I think, was Tyre. Yeah, this is Tyre, an area in Tyre. Some other ruins in Tyre. So that's all we had for today. So I end with a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for this time we had together. Thank you for the words you showed us that it is important to spread your word everywhere we go, and that you have a job for us all to do. And thank you so much that you help us to achieve the goals you have set before us, and that we can recognize what job you have for us to do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So folks, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow we're off to Jerusalem. And it'll be an interesting time there. We'll be there for, you'll actually be there for a couple of years. But trying to decide how to handle Jerusalem because it's more of a reflection of his travels. So maybe it'll be a good time to review kind of an overall picture of the travels of Paul as he reflects back in the latter chapters, the next couple of chapters of Acts. So we'll see how it goes, how the Lord, how the Holy Spirit kind of leads me in the next few chapters. So you all have a great day, and I hope, and it looks like it's going to be a nice one. See you all tomorrow.